listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Super Bowl goals. My wife in the crib feeding the kid little gold. We in a whole different mode. Kid that used to pitch bricks can't be pigeonholed. I cook up more chicken when the kitchen closed. Oh, who gonna reach a Billy first? I told my wife the spiritual shit really work. I'm la do la la. What? I'm holla do la la. I run through them all. Hobie's home. All these phonies put them to a halt. All this old talk left me confused. Would you rather be old rich me or new you? And old niggas, y'all stop acting brand new like Tupac ain't have a nose ring too. Huh. Nobody wins when the family fuse, but my stash can't fit into a Steve Harvey suit. I'm clear why I'm here. How about you? Ain't no such thing as an ugly billionaire. I'm cute. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Pretty much, we are back on a Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, mm-hmm. which is officially get your ass back to work day. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that that is also a holiday for employers.
We only gave you this day off because we legally have to pay you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And it's time to get into the show, guys. Okay, I had a day off. I did a lot of thinking. Had a lot of things on my mind, and it's time to talk about them. Okay, guys. I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. No, I never realized Chuck D kind of sound like if Martin Luther King could rap. Where's your ticket? I have a dream. All right. Anyway, sliders. You guys know, Karen, you know what a slider is?
A burger. Yes.
It's not really a burger. It's like a really tiny, tiny burger. It's like a mini burger. That's not really. Really much of anything.
And I did not know that at first. So I was like, oh yeah, I want a slider.
And you can make slider sandwiches and shit like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're like snack bites.
Yeah, they are the sucking dick with a condom of eating a cheeseburger.
Oh Lord.
They really are. It's like, what's the point? You know?
Go ahead and get you a full burger.
You know? It's like if edging was a meal, it would be sliders.
Edging?
Oh, that's a sexual term for taking somebody to the point of orgasm but not letting them come.
Okay.
It's like a whole like genre of porn and shit. It's pretty weird. Anyway, that's basically what it is. It's fucking trash. I can't believe people support that. The only lesson I'm taking from McCain's death is that I need to make a list of who I don't want at my funeral.
That's apparently it. Everybody need a list.
I got some people that I know are gonna try to act like we cool afterwards, and no, nigga, not you. You should have made up with me while I was breathing. Oh, I ain't forgive him, but I'm about to come and talk for an hour at his funeral ass niggas. I know who y'all are too. Gonna make it all about you. You know he was so good, and I just never. No, nigga, you didn't pick up the phone when it was time to pick up the fucking phone. Fuck that shit. It's on forever. I'm dead serious about making that list. I don't even think I want a funeral. I actually think I want a cookout.
I would throw a cookout.
Yeah, I want people to have a cookout. I want them to play music and spades and bring potluck food. And
mm-hmm, I would do that.
I want them to just.
No, we not dressing up.
I want them to dress up. I want them to. I want them to play church music. I want to be outside, and hopefully it's hot. I want it to be hot, and I want everybody to be
fucking sweating. No, thank you.
I want everybody to be standing outside at my funeral. I'm calling it funeral. It's gonna be fun. It's not gonna be sad.
And sweating, that's fun.
Sweating in the hot ass sun, listening to church music, and eating food at the cookout. And I want them all to say, God, we miss Rod. If he was here, he would have hated this shit. And that's how everybody gonna come together, because it's the truth. I don't like any of those things. Gatherings of people, loud music.
Right, because I was like, you want a cookout? Yeah,
well, it's not for me, it's for the living.
Passing out these fake tickets.
Y'all the ones that like them. I want white people to be there too. Problematic white people at my cookout for my death. I want them all. Mm-hmm. And if you really truly love and honor me, then y'all will come and be there. You know, if not, then fuck you. Don't come to my funeral. But if you truly love me, like
I
y'all
don't
say
know if
I'm
gonna honor these wishes. You don't like cookouts. What
who
are we talking
you,
about
who
here?
Who said you even gonna be here? Who knows? You might be gone by then. I don't know who's gonna hold my funeral.
Studies and statistics say that women outlive men, sir.
Yeah, unless you watch Snapped or it's all kinds of
what
car
you planning
crashes.
On killing me?
We might get in a car crash together. I don't know. You have no idea. Are you planning on killing me?
No, that's what I'm asking
you. So then how do
you
know for a fact? How do you know for a fact?
I said statistically women
outlive
men.
I'm not talking
men.
About statistics. I'm talking about one life. We don't know who's going out of this first. Okay? Like, you might just, I don't know what kind of stuff you get in. You might overdose this weekend. I don't know what kind of stuff you're into.
Shit, doing what?
I don't know what kind of stuff you into. When I'm not around.
Overdose playing Stardew Valley, that's about fucking it.
I might go to a theme park, you might get caught up in a drive-by, then I have to avenge your death. I throw a funeral. I don't know.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't know what you think I'd be getting into. Shit, you be with me, so if I'm doing it, you doing it too.
I'm just saying, you the one that was so sure you're gonna keep living, so I don't know. The everything bagel is the most overrated bagel in my opinion, and it needs to be said, and this truth is 100% confirmed, and I will be a martyr and die for this truth, and anyone that's against this is against my freedom of speech and the First Amendment. And I will take the social cost of being the person that told the truth, because you know who else paid the cost? Martin Luther King paid the cost when he spoke the truth to the people, and they killed him. Malcolm X, Medgar Evers. I understand the cost of what I'm saying to people right now, but it's a basic ass bagel for basic ass people.
What?
That's right. First of all, it's a goddamn lie. Everything's not in or on that bagel.
That's true.
It's just the salty savory things. So right away you told me a goddamn lie. Ain't no sugar on the bagel, but it's everything. So it's false advertising.
Normally it's like sesame seeds and stuff like that.
Right. Onion, sesame seed, garlic.
Yeah.
Just salt. You know what it is? It's all the shit that falls off of real bagels that are trying to be somebody. And then they take the nasty leftover salt bagels and they stuff them in the dirt floor of all the crap that's sitting in the floor with dust and dirt and mites. And they just say, here, dumbass, buy this. Well, what's this bagel called? Oh, come up with something. We don't want to call it scratch bagel or trash bagel or leftover bagel. You know what? Tell them it's everything. These idiots will eat it up. Everything bagel. I even pay extra. If it's an everything bagel, why don't they cost more than the other bagels if they so good? Think about this. Capitalism works that way. If there's such hot shit, everybody loves the bagel. How come everything bagel ain't like $7 and everybody else bagel like $3? Because it's not everything. Duh. If you get like a supreme piece, they don't cost the same as pepperoni and cheese. Everybody knows this. And I've heard all the naysayers, by the way. I see you in your little groups. Making private Facebook groups so you can talk behind my back about me. Well, say it to my face. I'm not afraid of y'all. Big bagel all up in your pocket. Patriarchal white capitalism telling y'all what's the best bagel. I see what it is. Draymond was right. I'm not gonna say what he said, but he was right.
Oh Lord.
The point being, the everything bagel is a jack of no trades.
Aww.
In trying to be everything, it succeeds in becoming no things, which makes it the worst bagel.
What did it do to you?
It's just the worst. It didn't have to do a damn thing to me. And before you go, Rod, you're not from New York. You're not Jewish. What do you know about bagels? Well, let's talk about how math works. Okay. Let's say that bagels in the places I've eaten bagels are half as good as bagels in New York, right? Let's just say that, right? I have tried all the bagels where I live. Okay. They don't just sell everything bagels, dummies. It's not like I'm sitting around going, oh, I've tried one everything bagel, no other bagels, and was like, bagels are bad. And you go, well, if you tried it in New York, you would have fucking jizzed all over yourself. Well, guess what, buddy? I tried all the bagels here and other places. and everything was always last, no matter where I was at. So let's say I go to New York and bagels there have fucking crack in them, okay? Bagels there, you stick your dick in them and they make you come.
Duh, what kind of bagels is these?
Let's just say that that's how good the bagels are. Let's say that on a scale of 1 to 10, bagels in New York are 57, okay? Like, the Jewish people make them by hand. They do all the right things to make a bagel perfect. Let's say that's true. Well, because we're talking about the commonalities, the everything bagel up there is still going to be last of all the delicious bagels that are in magic fairy tale New York City rat city land. Home of overrated rappers. And pollution. And rats. Okay? That is going to be the place where I'm going to stomp in with my Tims and listen to whatever music they play in the bagel shops. And I'm going to try everything bagel. And I'm going to go, this is the fucking worst bagel in here. Because it's the worst bagel in all the places they sell everything bagels. It is the nothing bagel. That's terrible. And somebody was like, you know what? That's the bagel that got all the spices on it. First of all, that's just shading all the bagels, and that's your fault. Because there are salt bagels, there are garlic bagels, there are onion bagels, there's other bagels, okay? I know my bagels. There are other flavors. But then you also have condiments and toppings you put on them. Spreads. Okay? I'm not new to this, I'm true to this bagel shit. And what I'm saying is, I'm not afraid, like the rest of you sheep, to come out and speak the truth about the everything bagel, okay? And I'm sick of people kowtowing to the Trump administration.
Oh, Lord.
To try to tell me the lies that the everything bagel is good. You know what? I'm going to go a step further. I shouldn't have called your bagel trash, and I shouldn't have said it wasn't good. It's just for basic people. And there's nothing wrong. Some of y'all just found out right now, I'm a basic ass nigga. I didn't know I was so basic. Thank you, Rod, for letting me know. Okay? You should be happy. You probably also like sliders. Right? You like a lot of basic shit, probably.
I like sliders.
You love red delicious apples. Right? And it's okay. No one is mad at you for liking these things. If it wasn't for you, no one would buy these shitty bagels. You go to the bagel shop, and I know, because I used to go to a bagel shop when I worked at this corporate job. We'd go pick up bagels in the morning, and I would go to the bagel shop, and I would get there late sometimes, and they're like, oh, we're out of everything, we're out of just about everything. I said, oh, you out of everything bagels? They said, no. We have never run out of everything bagels because no one buys them, okay? There are not enough people to buy the everything bagels. We're out of everything but everything, because everything apparently is for basic people. And I'll say, you know what? I'm going to go to another basic place another bagel place that has less, you know, that has more basic people in the vicinity that will buy just that bagel. It's trash. And I'm sorry y'all had to find out this way. I really am. But this is what separates the Black Guy with Tips from all these other podcasts out here.
Oh,
promoting
Lord.
These motherfucking, this nonsense agenda. Okay? This is, everything bagel is the all lives matter of bagels.
Oh no!
It really is. Cause it basically says to you, in no uncertain terms, hey, I'm saying all lives because I care about every life. I care about everything. And then you say, okay, so which stories do you concentrate on in the All Lives Matter movement? And they go, just the white ones. And you go, wait a minute. Hold up, player. If you're so all lives matter, wouldn't that then say that all the lives you concentrate on the stories where everyone gets shot, where police get shot, where the white people get shot, where the Black people get shot, where the Muslims get shot, you care about all fucking lives? And they go, we call ourselves All Lives Matter, but we really only care about the garlic lives, the salt lives. We care about the onion lives, the poppy seed lives. Nigga, you don't care about all lives. You a goddamn lie. Where's the sugar lives? Where's that?
Now they got brown sugar bagels as flames.
But they don't put them on no motherfucking everything bagel. Ain't no cinnamon. don't know everything, bagel.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
Right. No, it's bullshit. It's a marketing scheme and you dummies fell for it. You're so smart any other time. You never fall for the bullshit when it's the corporations and the white men and all, but you fall for the everything bagel. Just like that hook, line, and sinker. And it's so sad, so pathetic, but also so predictable to see my people run up upon. And I refuse. I refuse to participate in this. Okay? Now, I'm sorry that this had to happen, but it's the truth and y'all needed to hear it. And when I do eventually go to New York, I will try an everything bagel.
You know I will.
As a doorstop. Okay? I will make sure I'm actually gonna put that on the door so it doesn't slam.
I'm gonna eat it.
I don't think so. I'm gonna try a delicious bagel.
I'll buy my own.
Literally any other bagel is better. Any other bagel. All the other bagels are trying to be something. Cinnamon raisin. You have a theme.
I love
You have two
raisins.
Ingredients. They're in there. Wow. What a fucking concept. What, how, who could have imagined a bagel that says I have cinnamon and raisin in me? And guess what it has? Cinnamon and raisin. Oh, what is this? Apple bagel. Guess what it's flavored like? Apple.
Oh, those are good too.
Right.
Somebody said blueberry. Yes, blueberry bagel. Blueberry.
All the other bagels aspire to be something. Their specificity gives them the prowess in the bagel wars to succeed. They're specialists. They are assassins of taste. And the everything bagel just out there floundering around, just being good at nothing. Just a bench playing ass bagel. I'll give you 4 points, 4 rebounds, PJ Brown at 40 years old ass bagel. That's what it is.
Oh no,
nobody wants that bagel. Okay? Nobody was trying to get that bagel to come represent our bagels. You never see it in ads. Nobody ever puts it with nobody like, oh man, come to McDonald's, get an everything bagel sandwich. Nobody says that because they're like, it's not everything. No. Get the fuck out of my face. I'll take a plain bagel before I take that. I'll take a salt bagel before I take that. At least those bagels are honest about who they are. They're not liars, charlatans. It is the Donald Trump of bagels. Beautiful, beautiful, very important, bigly bagels. No, nigga, you a goddamn lie. You a goddamn lie. You orange tyrant motherfucker. You are not real. You are a bankrupt, decrepit, morally complicit bagel. And I didn't realize it would be so much harassment. But you know when the last time I got harassed like this, guys? The last time I was harassed like this, I said something like, I don't know. Straight black men are the white people of black people. That's the last time I was harassed this hard over the weekend. And if that don't tell you everything about who's right and who's wrong here, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say.
People have something to say about them bagels.
The hotel's still mad at me. This weekend I got called suspect and feminine. Because they were still mad at that tweet from 2 years ago. And it was in a picture with me and Karen. And I was drinking a drink. And they said, apparently I'm suspect and feminine.
Oh, they both was brightly colored. Oh, they were good too.
Apparently, you know, I must be gay or something.
I mean, your eyebrows is on fleek. I mean, you is keeping that beard together.
I don't see anything wrong with being feminine anyway. So to me, it's not really an insult, but.
Mm-mm.
The fact that you thought it was an insult kind of confirms the original tweet. Dumbass. Anyway. By the way, shout out to the people that did the, bitch, you ain't cute anyway, response to me this weekend for the everything bagel. Like, some people just can't handle an everything bagel. Nigga, what? This ain't no strong black woman. What the fuck you talking about? It's a bagel. Anybody can eat a nasty bagel. It's like saying everybody can't handle a shit sandwich. Yo, I can't handle it. I don't want to eat that shit. Come on, man. Yeah, you can't handle it. If you don't want me at my salt bagel, then don't want me at my everything bagel. Get the fuck out of here. I feel so sorry for...
That's hilarious.
So sorry for y'all's taste buds. Like, why would you do that to your mouth? What did your mouth do to you? Why don't you love yourself? Why don't you try the delicious other bagels? You know what it is. People that get everything bagel, they don't want to admit this. But it's kind of like people that got food in to vote for Bernie Sanders. They got the everything bagel. Cause when you walk in and you want to try a bagel and you're looking and your son just precious is lying behind you and they go, oh, what kind of bagel you want? And the first thing you go is, well, I don't want a plain. I mean, it's plain. That's like that's like nothing. It's like, why would I get the plain bagel? That's not even an experience. Oh God. Okay. Salt. I don't want a bagel that just tastes like salt. I want a salty ass bagel. I mean, if I come here, I want to get some flavors. Oh, blueberry. Oh, blue. That sounds kind of interesting, but then it's just blueberry. That's all cinnamon, apple, cinnamon and apple. I like them both, but I mean, together. And, oh man. What about, chocolate bagel? I mean, I guess I could just get a donut. If I get a chocolate bagel, I mean, donut would be better than chocolate. Ma'am, hurry up in line. Oh god, I'm panicking. I get the everything bagel. It's gonna have everything on it. It's gonna taste like all of them. Now it's the supreme bagel experience. It's gonna taste like all the bagels combined, but it's a goddamn lie. It's just marketing, because it doesn't taste like everything. It tastes like crap. It tastes like salty high blood pressure crap, and that's what you end up getting. And after that, you just go, I'll stick with this bagel. So you don't try the other bagels to know just how much more delicious they are than the everything bagel. You waste your experience. You fail to live up to the experience of life that we are granted and the opportunities that arise every time you walk in a bagel shop. So you end up caping for the everything bagel because you haven't tried anything else. Try other bagels. I don't care if you're in New York, try something else, okay? It's trash. And then you will see, relative to what I'm saying, that it is basic. That's all. It's basic. I keep saying trash, but I really mean basic. It's basic. And it's cool if you can embrace being basic. I have some basic tendencies myself. You know, there's some things I like where I'm like, this is what basic people eat. I ain't complicated. I ain't the most sophisticated palate at all times. Sometimes I just eat some shit and I'm like, yeah, I like Taco Bell sometimes. What the fuck? Like, what, every meal gotta be from Mexico, nigga? Sometimes it's just, I just like a Ariana Grande, and I'm good with that.
Nah!
I'm just saying. And I'm sorry I had to find out this way. If you don't want to come to the live show anymore, I understand. It's a revelation. It's a lot to be hit with on just a random Tuesday. You came here expecting some podcasts, and you just found out, oh my God, am I a basic ass motherfucker? Yes, you are. That's why you feel that calling in your spirit.
Oh Lord.
To try to say something against me.
I'm basic on some stuff, I'm not even gonna lie.
No, I've seen you order everything bagel.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you do it several times, and each time on my side, I shook my head like, I guess she just did not want a bagel experience. She can't help herself. She thinks to herself, I know it's the market. I know my wife. It's the marketing. Oh, it says everything. Of course I want everything. I mean, what's the choices? Plain, cinnamon raisin, blueberry. Ooh, everything. I like the sound of that. Black people put it in our vernacular. It is everything. Beyonce was everything. Plus the period and the dot. Like, all that stuff. Quotation marks. But they just using black vernacular to sell you a subpar bagel. I thought y'all was all about that. Calling out cultural appropriation. Well, they culturally appropriated everything from us and y'all let it happen. But I am the villain because I would stand up and tell you to want better for yourself. That's sad. It's really sad, but I'll just cry in the wind, but I will die for this truth.
No, Lord.
And if somebody decides to take me off of this earth, y'all know it's gonna be because I said the truth about everything bagel. Big Bagel's gonna come after me. I know. You know, I get what's gonna happen. I put my life on the line to speak the truth to my people, and this is
so you're gonna have a bagel accident.
I got thrown in the pit by Queen and Jay today. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
They pushed you over the edge.
Listen,
they tossed you in the pit.
That lady and Jay was throwing me in the pit like we never met. It was sad to see, really, doing the work of the bagel community to get rid of a black man with a platform. That's sad, really. But I'm not gonna let it stop me. I still support them, and I won't let it turn. A lot of people will just look back on this and they're gonna regret the things they said about me for speaking the truth, and it's gonna be fine. I will forgive them because they know not what they do.
Oh Lord.
Carrying out the agenda of the globalist Okay, I think we all know what that means in Trump's America.
Oh Lord,
something racist. Just if you want to do that, throw me out. That's fine. But I'm now in the pit with the likes of Tariq Nasheed, Charlemagne, French people that hate Serena, and me, Rod. Mm-mm-mm. Lover of all things black, tossed aside for the bagels. Bagels that don't even, that lie in their name. Bagels that refuse to tell you the truth. Those bagels basically crop pictures of themselves and put it on Instagram with mad filters and go, look at me, I'm everything. And then when you see them in real life, you go, you false advertising ass nigga. Duh! You do not look like that. Where are the blueberries? Where are the apples? Where's the cinnamon? What's strawberries? Oh, you were just lying and full of shit the whole time we was on the phone? Wow. Suddenly I want to leave my Tinder date.
Duh!
Can't believe y'all would throw me to the side for this, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to be mad at that lady and Jay for what they did to me. Okay? You hear it. I listen to it. It hurt me to my soul. I've never been hurt so bad in my life. By podcast beef. I don't even have anything mean to say to them. It's just, I hope they just know that they really hurt a good person. And that's all I'll say. But not as hurt as they hurt themselves and they eat those terrible bagels. Ugh. Mm-mm-mm. All right. Next thing I was thinking about. Newsflash, guys. I kept watching Ballers. I couldn't stop. I don't know why. It's not good, but I can't help myself. It's been better this season, though. But I just want y'all to know, because I feel like I have to tell y'all. The Rock on Ballers got a black love interest this season.
What?
I know.
He never has a black love interest.
I know. I'm saying. It's crazy to me, too. I feel like we finally made it, y'all. We finally made it to post-racial America. Thank you to The Rock, okay? I thought Obama was going to get us there, but now The Rock might kiss a black woman on national TV. I feel like this is the real post-racial America, okay? It took Trump in the White House to get Rock to do it. But apparently black wives matter now. Shout out to...
Oh my God, this beautiful.
That's what I said when I saw it. I said, oh my God. She is not ambiguously black. She didn't like have an accent or something where she was like, well, actually, I'm blankety blank. She was like, I'm just black. There's a black woman sitting in Rock's hotel room about to let my chocolatey cakes get smashed to smithereens. I said, you know what? You do your thing. But yeah, now y'all know. Also, last thing, I heard that they got canceled, City Girls, apparently, grand opening, grand closing, they got canceled.
I don't even know who they are.
Confession, I don't know who City Girls are.
Mm-mm.
Somebody told me they were sampled on Drake's song, Nice for What, I think is the name of the song. But like, I show you how to network, which is that you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. Two bad bitches, then we sitting in a ray, sitting in a that shit. That apparently is them. I haven't really heard their music or anything.
Mm-mm. I know nothing about them.
But you know, they was kind of getting big. I thought maybe they worked for like Citibank and they call you and be like, where's our money?
I was so confused. I was like, City Girls. Who girls are the city? What's happening here?
Yeah. Oh, y'all, are they models for City Trends?
Right. I'm old and black, so I was like, who?
Are they background singers for City High? Who exactly is?
Right.
Who exactly are the City Girls? You know, I felt so old and didn't know shit, but apparently they already got canceled because they said some homophobic shit on social media.
Oh.
And they also dissed Blue Ivy.
Oh no, you don't do that.
You know, I'm starting to think maybe the reason that all these people keep going viral and we get introduced to them via the internet, but then like shortly afterwards we find out that they actually have been problematic in the past, like not too distantly in the past normally. I'm starting to think that it's just part of the personality type of the person that gets your attention on the internet.
Correct.
You know, like, maybe the reason that Doja Cat finally, through trial and error, got it together and put out a viral video that made everybody go crazy, despite her being an artist already, and then we find out she said a whole bunch of homophobic shit in the past, trying to be sassy or spicy on Twitter. Maybe it's because, maybe those, they come from the same place. Like, you want attention, and then you say and do problematic shit, and then also, all those failures at, whether it be humor or social commentary or whatever, and trying to be edgy, is also why the fuck you eventually do succeed in making something that draws people to you. I don't know, it's just a thought.
Correct.
So, I don't know, it's just something I was thinking about, like, cause it seemed like this is the new wave or trend is, oh my God, I love this person, they're so funny, they're so cool, have you heard this song? And then you're like, oh man, this person's so original or funny or whatever, and then once you look into their past, it's like, here's a bunch of other shit they did that wasn't popular, that wasn't as good, and sometimes it's just downright fucking offensive.
Correct.
And it's like, why does this exist out here? And it's like, well, back then they were trying to make that shit good, and it just didn't work.
Right.
All right, let's get into some stories. I've talked enough about random thoughts and everything bagels. So you remember Elvin from the Cosby Show? He was like the boyfriend character of, I don't remember which one of the girls it was. Was it Sandra? Anyway, he was like the boyfriend character of one of the girls, and he was like super sexist. But he was like nice guy sexist.
And nice guy Tim.
Yeah, and then also like,
oh, that was her husband.
It was Sandra's husband?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How did I know that? Anyway, I don't know how I knew that. So which one was the one that had the husband that was in the military? Was that Denise?
Yeah, I want to say that was Denise.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know how this shit is stored in my brain. But so Elvin was like the clueless sexist dude. He would always just say something like, well, you know, women are supposed to be in the kitchen. And then like, you know, Bill Cosby would always do the like, oh son, you shouldn't have said that, like, face. And then the women would get mad, and then they would like basically fuss him out, and then he would end up learning a lesson, and he never really meant bad, like he always meant well, but it was like, you know, the well meaning misogynist, you know. Anyway, the actor who plays him, Jeffrey Owens, was working at Trader Joe's. And someone took pictures of him working at Trader Joe's, surreptitiously, I believe. And they put him on the internet, and then Fox News found it, and they had an article go viral. What, you know, I would say most of it was probably hate shares that made it go viral, to be honest. And eventually it got back to him, and it kind of shamed him, and he actually quit his job.
Wow.
Yeah.
People got to work.
Yeah, he was bagging groceries, and, you know, they job shamed him, which is some new shit I did not really know we did. I knew people were shamed, like, I knew people were very mean to, like, customer service, minimum wage type jobs, but I didn't really know about this thing of... Or I guess no. I knew of it. We didn't have a word for it. That's what it is. I didn't know there was a word for it. Cause I remember when Emilion, the rapper, people say she used to work at Target, and that was like a big funny running joke. Was like, she worked at Target. Like,
I don't get that. Motherfuckers have jobs, all types of jobs. Your fave worked somewhere. People do all types of jobs. They clean toilets, sewers. Like, what the fuck? What is goddamn wrong with people? You, the person laughing, may have even had a fucking job at Target or Walmart, the gas station. What are we talking about here? I don't understand this.
And it's not like he was selling everything bagels. He wasn't doing anything disreputable that would bring shame to his family. Like,
right.
He's making a living doing something that, you know, manual labor, but something that many of us had to do. And honestly, I can't imagine feeling like I was above this if I felt this is what I had to do for my family to eat or to make ends meet. I can't imagine being a quote unquote above doing the right thing and working.
Yeah, and I think with the Trader Joe's, his thing was like, I can understand why he quit, because then you're gonna have people constantly coming up there, you know, like coming in the store to interact with him. He was like, I don't want this. I just want to bag people's groceries like I was doing before, and people went on about their lives. I don't want no whole fucking conversation every time I interact with the customer.
Well, it's also crazy because it reveals our obsession with fame,
right?
It scares me. Fame scares the fuck out of me, because imagine you just want to be a regular person working at this job, and you would think, okay, let's say I recognize him. I know he's Elvin from Cosby Show. I know him. I know he's the actor Jeffrey Owens. I legitimately would let him bag my shit and keep moving. And I'm not saying that
right
in some hindsight 2020 shit. I'm saying it's happened to me before, where I've run into people who are obviously famous, and I kept it fucking moving. I recognize them. Sometimes they look in my eyes and can see I recognize them, and I give them a head nod the way I would give any other person, and I keep fucking moving, because honestly, it's, they're human.
Right.
I ran into Anthony, what's the dude that always make the soul for? Anthony Hamilton. And
yes,
he was with his sons at Harris Teeter shopping on a weekday morning. And I was, in my mind, I went, I know that dude. It's Anthony Hamilton. And we made eye contact. I gave him a little head nod. I kept it fucking moving. Some people are into that, you know, like celebrities that are really like, hey, come sign my, you know. But some people are just out with their sons in a quiet fucking time of the day where they really hope a lot of people ain't in there.
Right.
So they can do some shopping and get this and move the fuck on. And to me, it's like him doing this job, there's nothing shameful in that.
Mm-mm.
But I can see how if a line is out the door, motherfuckers looking at him like a circus clown, like, come watch Elvin bag groceries, then all of a sudden, yeah, I might want to quit.
Right. And I guarantee you that's most likely what it turned into. Well, people was calling to the store asking, was he working? Because people fucking are crazy. And I remember what was it, years ago, what was it? It wasn't Media Play. What was that, that ripoff, Media Play store we used to work at?
I think it was called Media Play.
Was it Media Play?
Yeah, it was called Media Play. You're thinking about Best Buy.
Oh, okay. It was, okay.
But we worked at Media Play.
We worked at Media Play years ago. And this was so long ago, we was actually selling CDs. I actually worked in this, like, the CD section or the CD area where we did, like, CDs and DVDs. And no, it wasn't even DVDs. DVDs was just coming out. So it was CDs and VHSs. DVDs was just coming out. And I forgot the basketball player, but he played for the Hornets. And in my mind, I said he must be somebody because he was so fucking tall. I was like, he played for somebody. And he came and he asked me questions. I answered his questions. I told him where to go. I just talked to him and kept it pushing. And then somebody came up to me and said, did you know that was such and such? I was like, no. I was like, I knew he was like, and I don't know. I didn't think twice. I just treated him like a normal person.
When I was a waiter, I waited tables on Eldon Campbell, David Wesley, Anthony Mason. Like, and these are all people that, you know, they're there with their families and shit. They know they're recognizable. They're Charlotte Hornets basketball players. And I just treated them like I didn't fucking know them, because at the end of the day, they deserve the experience that they should get from anywhere else. Unless you try to big time me on some I'm famous shit, then we might have to address it. But I don't see why it's a big deal. You know, when I've met famous people from playing basketball or in social life, to me, it's just kind of like, I'm going to talk to you like a human being. And I think, you know, it's kind of funny because this is tangential, but it reminds me of, how people who approach our podcast sometimes because they want access to the spaces that we have created and the spaces we cultivated and come together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I want access to your community, your listeners, your readership, whatever the fuck, your social media people. And they tell me shit that they think I want to hear. But you can tell that they don't know me or think of me as a person, because they're like, you're going to be famous one day. You're going to be on TV.
Everything is a product.
It's like everything is like, they think they're stars in my eyes. And I'm like, I don't value those things.
Sure don't.
You know, maybe I should. And maybe we would be a bigger, better podcast if I did. But I won't lie to myself. I don't value those things.
Because I know it's more that comes with that than meets the eye.
It's just not my thing. You know, it's not even, it's just not my, it's legitimately not a thing I think about every
day.
And
that's not the goal.
One day you'll be on the radio. It's not really. I mean, if that happens,
right? It's like,
who will consider it when it happens? I don't wake up every day going, I'm gonna be a big time name personality.
Mm-mm.
It's really not in me to want that kind of shit as a goal. It's right. More of a byproduct of us living the existence we live, saying the shit we say. I love the things that come along with what we do for the most part. But in general, I'm not seeking these things out.
Nope.
I'm really trying to live an existence of being us first and foremost, right?
Correct.
And it's just interesting because people, when they don't see you, people are incapable sometimes of not seeing the product instead of seeing you.
Right.
And I feel like that's what happened. Like, you know,
tell the difference too.
Yeah, I've hung out with people where they were familiar with the show and it felt like I had to be on for them, as opposed to, like, you know, sometimes I hang out kind of quiet. I don't have a lot to say. Sometimes I could sit at a table and everybody be talking, and, you know, with my family and shit, everybody can be talk. Everybody of my family is mostly like boisterous and loud and jokeful and all this shit. And I'm normally the quiet one at our hangouts and events.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Roger be quiet. I turn my back to him and get to talking to somebody else.
Right, but I'm sure it shocks my family to know what I do for a living, because to a certain extent, they're like, the nigga that doesn't even really want to play spades sometimes, or
right,
will come in and just turn on the game and go in the other room and just watch TV.
I know, right? And it's hilarious, because a lot of times when you tell them, they be like, boy, you on the radio? No, we're not on the radio.
But it don't matter. If we were on the radio, they still would be surprised. Correct. It doesn't matter. The point is, talking for a living and being funny and all this stuff, it's not that they can't, like, they don't think I'm funny. They just, like, you don't really try to be the center of attention anywhere.
Right.
You know? And so I think fame fucks people up to being like, that's Elvin. He wants to be Elvin right now. Hey, can you say something sexist?
A role he ain't played in like 20, 30 years? Come on.
Right. What are you doing here? Not being Elvin. You know what I mean? It's just something in us that's fucked up. Well, we can't just look at him and be like, oh, he's probably working to pay a fucking bill, because acting ain't exactly a fucking gig that gives you a consistent check sometimes.
Come on.
And if it's come down to this, then this is what it's going to be. Even if he was doing it as a hobby, he could have been doing it to research a role. You don't know.
Right.
Anyway, the fact that it's scary to me that motherfuckers would be like, well, now that I know he's at this Whole Foods in New Jersey, I want to ride up there and say something to him.
Right. And that's not funny. He almost had to quit.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. This should be a story you hear and go, that is fucked up they did that to him, that they shamed him.
Right.
Good for him that he's working and shit. Whole Foods is actually a pretty good job to take care of folks for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna mind my black ass business, and unless I need to go to Whole Foods and get something, you know, and just he happens to be there, I should never see this man in my life. That should be it. And instead, yeah, you got a motherfucking line out the door of people like, I gotta see Elvin.
Yeah, and also, it's one of those things where people think they're better. They go, well, the jobs I have is better than this. How are you working here?
Right.
And a lot of people will not admit a lot of the criticism and, oh, why you working here? Or how you got this job here? Is one of those things where a lot of people just like to feel superior. And they assume that because you're in the limelight, that the people can see you, or that you're some form of, people can notice you, that all of a sudden you're a quote unquote above them. Like, they put you somewhere that you didn't even put yourself. They right. did, not you. He never said I was better. He never said I would never work a job at, these words never came out of his mouth. People just made the assumption that he should not be working here. And who are you to make that decision about somebody else in their financial situation?
Right. It is also that thing where, we are such a, social media has made us lose some of the empathy that I think the normal person used to kind of have sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, to a certain extent, like, obviously I'm not trying to romanticize the past, because, you know, slavery happened here, but like the social graces of, like, this is just bad manners to go record this man in his job. Like, there's some part of that is like, we now that we have these cameras in our pockets and a gateway to fame and the internet right there, people can't help themselves. Motherfucker get shot, they pull out their camera phones. You know, someone's on a train getting harassed, you pull out your camera phone. You know, and I understand, like, as a black person, yeah, sometimes you want to document survival moments of like, yo, someone's going to need to see this, and the police or the judge or social media, this may, like, we have reached a point where I understand it for situations of life and death with black folks.
Right.
So I'm not trying to act like, oh, this is always terrible. It's not always terrible. But a nigga's at work, you pulling out your phone?
Not doing nothing. I'm sorry, but not harassing
nobody. That is terrible.
He's just minding his own motherfucking business.
That is terrible. Like, I don't know how social media has changed to the point where I feel like when we get older and die off or whatever, our grandkids or whatever, it's gonna actually change the phrases that we used to have when we was kids. You know, like, technology will have made it where kids walk around like, my grandmama used to say, if you don't have anything else nice to say, then you should just make your Facebook page private and start a private Facebook group and talk about them and behind closed doors. You're like, what? Closed DMs don't get fed. Okay? A screenshot is worth 1,000 likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two favorites in the hand is worth a retweet in the bush. Okay?
Nah!
If all your friends logged off a site, that don't mean you got to. You can ride share, but you can't always share your ride. If she can't use your Firefox or Chrome, then she can't come home. It's gonna be like that. It's gonna be like that. So I feel like we have lost something behind these screens, man. And that has made us like, I don't know if it'll ever come back, but this was,
I know that they're gonna be like, if all your friends unlike a pic, does that mean you gotta unlike a pic too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just cause all your friends blocked them.
I know that mean you gotta block them too.
So on my Facebook page say, because y'all share mutual friends, I mean, you share mutual morals.
Come on now, that's a true statement.
I'm just saying, that's what's gonna happen. Like 40 years from now, that'll be the old phrase. You know, back in the day, they used to say, you can block them on social media, but you can't block the truth. Like, what?
Miss Puttis Ma say, if he ain't a Mac, send him back.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
The blacker the avid, is sweeter the tweets.
Come on.
Anyway, but a lot of people gave him support, like famous people, other actors and stuff, and places with reach, you know, like The Root and stuff. Like, they were like, come on man, respect this man. And since he left the Cosby Show, he's taught acting classes at Yale. He's on several television shows over the years, such as The Affair and Lucifer, but he said no job has lasted more than 10 weeks. The Trader Joe's gig gave him flexibility to audition while earning a steady check.
Right.
Owens has now quit his grocery store job, which he had been at for 15 months because all of the newfound attention made it impossible to remain working there. But it's likely that Owens will see a slew of new job offers. Tyler Perry said, hashtag Jeffrey Owens, I'm about to start shooting Owens number one drama next week. Come join us. I have so much respect for people who hustle between gigs. The measure of a true artist. So nigga got a job now.
Come on.
Also, because you know I got to do it. You know I got to do it. Won't Tyler do it?
Mm-hmm.
Won't he, you said Diddy, bougie motherfuckers, when it's time for a check, though, won't he come through? It's all these Hollywood faves out here. All these black power, black girl magic, black this and that motherfuckers, strong black lead. All these motherfuckers out here talking about this is a shame. Tyler Perry the only one pick up a phone and went and got his pen and got his check right in hand and got his checkbook.
Come on.
Was like, my nigga, catch this flight and catch these coins. Won't he do it? But y'all too mad about things such as plot and continuity and acting to get into some Tyler Perry. Mm-mm-mm. Shame on y'all.
Mm-hmm, cause them ideas is good.
Mm-hmm. Y'all too sedated to laugh. Y'all too bougie to be like, you know what? I laugh at Adam Sandler movies, but I refuse to let this nigga come. Well, I'm laughing. It's funny to me. Mm-mm-mm. Mm-mm-mm. It's sad to see it had to come to this. but it's the truth. And before y'all get mad, it's really y'all, it's not me, because I'm consistent.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you. This is why I send my money to Acrimony, okay?
That was good too. That was real good.
It was good. All these sadiddy ass niggas always on Facebook. I just saw the Tyler Perry movie on Netflix or Amazon because I refuse to give him my money. And let me tell you, it had some flaws. Duh. It did? What?
Yeah, I can't wait to see the next boo. Mm-hmm. The Tyler Perry boo.
Madea boo.
Yeah, Madea
Tyler
boo.
Perry presents Madea's Boo, A Halloween Story, Part 3. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm going to be there for that bitch.
I'm low-key pissed. I haven't seen the trailer this year. I guess it's right. Took a year off.
Right. I was like, it's almost October. Ain't we about to get one?
They only take 4 days to shoot. I don't know why we didn't get another one this year.
We'll probably get one next year.
But hopefully we get one next year because that's my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I need to see them problematic-ass niggas being niggas on screen again.
Yes!
And laugh at the horrible acting and the white people that used to be famous and black people that are famous. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Them shits is good.
All right, what else happened? But yeah, people are trash for that. For fucking it up. Fucking
and
up
shaming him. What the fuck?
Let's see what else we got to talk about, y'all. Look at my time real quick. You know what? Let's move into something else. I don't see anything else I need to really get to in the regular news section. Let me double check. Let's see. I guess In-N-Out Burger donated a bunch of money to the Republican Party.
I've never had In-N-Out Burger.
The Focot continues. I shall never let In-N-Out pass between my lips so long as I live and breathe in Charlotte where there are none. Never. And the rest of you who swear by In-N-Out and talk about how good it is should be ashamed of yourselves for supporting such a racist institution. I don't care if it's delicious. Mm-mm, I will sacrifice to prove my devotion to black people. But I guess some of y'all wouldn't know nothing about that, huh? Kind of interesting to me. You know what I'm saying? Kind of interesting. Anyway, when I go get my Chick-fil-A this Thursday to watch the opening of the NFL season, I will think about you niggas and how inconsistent and hypocritical your values are as I scarf down some Papa John's, okay?
Oh, Lord.
Because I'm a real one, not a fake one, like some of y'all. You everything bagel-eating peasants.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-mm-mm. It's really a shame. The way people let themselves be used and tricked by these corporations, Karen. Speaking of being used and tricked by corporations, let's get to fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go around the globe, we find different articles, make us feel fuck with the wheel side points, goes from 0 to 100, and 25. Today's contestants are everybody. That's right. Everybody's playing. Let's see who's fucking with us today, Karen. Outraged fans are cutting Nike swooshes off of their apparel after Kaepernick announcement. That's right. Colin Kaepernick was announced as the face of a new advertisement campaign for the Just Do It campaign. And he's already been a Nike athlete and endorsement person since 2011.
Mm-hmm. They never stopped paying him.
Yeah, they never stopped paying him. Which I find it funny. Kind of funny that motherfuckers are now trying to question his credibility as an activist, because they just found out this nigga been getting paid since 2011 and he got a new deal. Where y'all think that $1 million came from that he donated to people while he did not have an NFL contract?
Come on.
You think he just pulled that money out of the sky? He gave his own money that he got through white patriarchal capitalism, which is what the fuck most of us live under and have to survive under and sometimes even prosper under. I don't know what the magical number of too much is for these I'm gonna just say jealous ass motherfuckers. I don't know what the magical number is, because it's not like these motherfuckers are turning down bonuses at their job or raises. Like, they walk into the office and go, man, I feel like I'm out here, and none of them risking CTE and broken limbs, by the way, at their jobs. Come but on. They feel like they not getting respected at work and shit, and I guarantee fucking motherfucking T ain't never walked out of no meeting and said, if I take this raise, it's gonna feel like I sold out, so I'm gonna just demand to be poor.
Because they think they deserve it.
Right. Get the fuck out of here, man. Anyway, that shit was the weakest goddamn analysis. It's why I hate, sometimes I just hate the predictability of the internet. Not necessarily hate the internet or hate the people on it. It's like we have to go through the cycle. I literally made a joke where I was like, so I just heard about the announcement. Someone took screenshots, so you know it's true. I just heard about the announcement. I said, so how long before people start using Kaepernick being signed to a new deal with Nike as proof that he's sold out and he's a sellout? Someone sent me a screenshot 10 minutes later. Jason Whitlock called him a sellout. 10 minutes later. And some people hit me up before that, like, oh, people been doing it already. I'm like, what is wrong with us? It's like everybody's a freshman in college and they have to make the obvious point that everyone knows. Nike's a corporation. Yes. Nike used to have issues around like their labor and all this shit. They don't have as many issues anymore, by the way. Nobody ever looks up the updates of when companies fix shit, which is part of the reason that companies don't fix shit, is because motherfuckers don't really care. They like to shame you, and then when you do better, they go, well, fuck you, you're still not perfect. None of these companies are perfect. No person is perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not perfect. You're criticizing them from an iPhone on a social media site that is run by white supremacists that kick black people off for noticing white supremacy. Like, we're all kind of in this shit because we don't really have as much of a choice as we like to pretend that we do.
Correct.
Right? Some people navigate it better, try not to put too much of your soul into anything, but still, it is gonna wear us all down. It's just people keep making these fucking rudimentary 101 points about shit, and it's like, we know it's a corporation. We know that they're doing this partially because they think there's something to be gained off of Kaepernick's image.
Their sales instantly went up.
Not to mention what I'm looking at, to me, bigger picture, less 101 shit. Let's move up to 301. Right? Not saying I'm a genius or nothing, but let's move up to the next level. Let's say we all understand this is a capitalistic enterprise. Now let's talk about the bigger shit. It's a slap in the face to the NFL. Nike makes all their uniforms. Nike also just told them, your premise that we can't have niggas kneeling because we'll lose too much money, we are willing to bet it is 100% bullshit.
Right.
Because we are going to employ and make the face of our movement the biggest contrarian athlete when it comes to the protest. A man who is currently suing you, the NFL.
Who we sponsor too. All right. Y'all shit come through us.
Right. We are making his case better that by saying no one really has a problem with him as far as the ability for him to play football or to sell product. So now that we've proven that, why can't he play football again? Why can't Eric Reed, who protests as well and is in the prime of his career and is a good defensive back, why can't he play anymore? It's looking like collusion, right? It's looking like you guys have decided certain black people who are too outspoken have to go. And they have actually put a good amount of doubt in the NFL's case that, you know, hey, it's just about skill and these things aren't popular and it's costing us monies and teams don't want it because the fans don't like it. It's actually proven that that's not as many of those angry racist fans as you say.
Right.
And there may be more fans who can't wait to support a black person like Colin Kaepernick.
Correct. And his jersey sales was like in the top like 50, and the nigga didn't even play.
Chris Long is a white man who's extremely outspoken against Trump, against a lot of against bigotry and stuff. Played the entire season with the Philadelphia Eagles and won the Super Bowl. You never hear people talking about he need to get cut. We can't have him on the team. There's something very specific about these black athletes who refuse to stand for the anthem and refuse to be silent in press conferences. And Nike has said, we're willing to bet on that. Now, a lot of people try to throw this in some like, it's just so opportunistic. Adidas, last year, who has Kanye West as a spokesperson, said they would not sign Colin Kaepernick unless he signed an NFL contract. So bullshit. I call bullshit. This is not just a risk for Nike, but it is also an investment. It's also a long storied history. The reason Nike ran to prominence in a, cause some of these people are too young to remember, and then some people in the moment of now, we forget history because it's not convenient.
Right.
And we don't want to look like we're supporting Nike because Nike has a checkered past in social, you know, activism and shit.
Yeah, everything does.
But here's the catch though with Nike. The reason Nike is Nike is because Nike started betting heavily on black athletes when other companies refused to.
Come on.
They would have never, Nike should not be Nike. If Converse would have done what they were supposed to do, if Adidas would have done what they were supposed to do, if all these people that had a jump on Nike in the past would have just kept their foot on their neck, they would have been straight. But Nike started doing shit like investing in black athletes that were counterculture. You know, they invested in a Michael Jordan with his chains and his fucking, you know, baggy shorts.
They got 2,000 shoes.
Chewing gum on the court. They invested in that dude at a young age that made, like, that shit turned the media on his head because they had never really seen a black person push that hard. And he ended up becoming a fucking athlete of a generation because of that. You know? But they started investing in these dudes that people weren't 100% sold on right away. Where they were like, but can you sell a black person like this? And that's how they got to where they are, you know? So this is just another notch in their belt of just kind of seeing the way things are building up. And I believe they said to themselves, there's money to be made here. But also, in hindsight, this will be a campaign that lasts forever because we can always say we're on the right side of this. And everybody else is scared. But we're Nike. We got the cash.
I know that. I'm already looking at Serena Tutus and her cat suits and shit like that, you know, because all that is Nike sponsored.
Same thing with Serena. Like, they're backing them hard. And the other thing is corporations change. And like, I don't know who's in charge of their marketing now, but it's obviously somebody that embraces black shit. So I would love to hear the story behind what has changed with them behind the scenes since, specifically Ferguson. Cause I remember during Ferguson, with Mike Brown, they were one of the main proponents of like, hey man, police need support too, and guys, are we just trying to you know, respect the everybody involved and shit. And something happened when in the last, like, I mean, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. So something happened in the last 4 or 5 years that made them be like, yeah man, this is a bad look. You know, Chick-fil-A did something similar. I remember in Atlanta where they wanted to give the police some food, but not the protesters and shit. Like, the companies are now being like, either shut the fuck up or wake up. And I don't know if they're hiring black people. I mean, sometimes that's what happens. You do hire a black person and the black person like,
or you consult, you like, right. Okay, let's go get a black consulting firm and let's see what's happening here.
So I don't know, man. Like, yeah, people, they got hijabs in their, hijabs in their ads for women now and shit. Like, they just been on some other shit, you know? I don't know, man. I wouldn't be shocked if there were black people there working now, or if they hired someone black and that's in a decision making role, because I don't know, these things have been pretty, like, they're making some really bold choices lately. And it kind of reminds me also of boycott culture, right? And I don't mean the new culture, I'm talking about the old, like 60s 70s. Well, they've done something now that people claim to want. there's gonna be a lot of black people that want to, for purity's sake, will hold out and be like, well, they fucked up a long time ago, I will never support these niggas, fuck them. And that's their right. I'm not telling them they're wrong. Here's the thing about boycott culture though. If we're gonna recognize it's a capitalist society, we're gonna recognize that money moves morality a lot of times in America. Yeah, buying some Nike shit actually helps. It actually really, this is one of the few times where it actually would help, because you're telling them, hey, I like what you're doing. You're doing the right thing. We're already a huge part of your customer base. I'm stepping up to buy some more shit because I want you to continue to do this shit. I don't want you to take a hit for it financially to where, cause you know, they're going to take a hit with some people, but I don't want you to take the kind of hit that makes it like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We tried to make a statement to support black folks and support black athletes and black causes. We took such a financial hit. I ain't doing this shit again. That was stupid. Fire the black person that came up with this thing. And, let's go back to All Lives Matter. Okay, guys. The Nike All Lives Matter swoosh, right? And, and you can tell that because of, because of the boost, they will continue to do shit like this. It's a very simple formula. So I do encourage people, or I at least support them in being like, yeah, I bought some Nike shit today because I want to make sure they understand this is where the money needs to go.
What I sure am thinking about it. I've been looking at, for real, tutus and cat suits and socks and stuff.
Yeah. June said you could buy stocks now. The price went down. Yeah. Like, white people have a way of, overreacting to this shit and calling us the snowflakes.
Come on.
But good for him, man. Good for Cap. And, ha 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 at these white people that cut the tops of their socks off.
Y'all bought shit, so Nike already got y'all money.
Cut the swoosh off your shorts. For what? You already bought the Nike shit.
They got your money. Y'all don't know how to protest.
Well, somebody said, that's why I only buy Chuck Taylor's Converse.
That's Nike too, ain't
Nike
it?
Nike owns.
Okay, I about to say, that's Nike too.
Oh my god.
Oh, somebody said, dude said he's on fire while he still had him on.
That's not real.
Oh, I'm about to say.
Like, maybe the picture might be real, but he also has a picture of his feet being burned to a crisp, saying, oh no, I burned myself. That picture is fake.
That makes sense.
And I think that dude is just like a funny, viral person trying to be viral, trying to be funny. It is funny, so I still laughed. I thought it was hilarious. Because even if he didn't do it, you know, on purpose, da 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 da, it's still funny, and I did laugh at that. But here's some pictures. Here's a dude that cut the top of his socks off. Well, I don't know why it's so jagged. You bite them off with your teeth? Like, why is it why is it looking like that? You know,
it wasn't cutting too straight.
People cut their bandanas off, cut their shorts. Someone cut the side of their shoe. We got a big ass hole in the side of their shoes now.
They ain't got nothing else to do.
White people, man, they need problems. They need real, actual problems.
So I'm fucking up my shit that I bought? No, thank you.
Like, real talk. Like, black people, I know we got a lot of problems, but some days I'm kind of thankful for the problems we have. Because, like, at least it's real.
Well, come on!
You know, at least we're not making it up. You know, like, I understand I understand black people being upset with like In-N-Out Burger giving money to Republicans. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that they'd be like, yeah, I'm still get a burger and I don't give a fuck. Like, I understand both ways. It's like, I got real fucking problems and In-N-Out is on my way home and I haven't eaten yet, you know? And I only got $10 away. Like, I understand.
Right.
I also, like, because we have real shit, there's like a levity to us that, that I love in real life. I think online is a bit more played up, and because, you know, online you get rewarded with retweets and likes and shit for playing up different angles and making everything like World War III. But in real life, when I just talk to niggas and you bring up some fucked up shit, we always be like, yeah, that's fucked up too. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, when you trying to prioritize things, you be like, that shit ain't really that important. I understand the wokes is protesting online, but yeah,
that's why I like being black, man. Because there's, unfortunately, it's not our choice, but there's a levity to everything where it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, we kind of figured that it had something fucked up to it, because everything's fucked up.
Everything.
Zero to 100 care.
I'm not fucking with Nike, no.
Yeah, I'm zero for this one. I'm just opting out. I understand people are gonna break down the think piece of why this is terrible. Whatever. It's not terrible to me. I like it. And capitalism gonna exist. Try to use it for some good shit. Cool. I like it. Same reason I fuck with Jay-Z and Beyonce, all that type of shit. Like, I don't expect you to change the entire formula of the economy of the country just because you got rich. But it is cool that you decided to try to use money towards good things. And shit, even today I read he gave $250,000 or either $25,000 to an urban farming community. You know, like, Cap stayed doing shit. Alright, let's go to the next fucking one, Black People article. Oh, great. It's just one of these.
Okay.
Alright, I'll read it. Arby's has apologized at the reader board at one of its Minnesota locations, featured both a racial slur and a derogatory term for a prostitute.
A reader was bored?
The reader board, the thing that says, like, McDonald's, over a million sold.
Oh, the reader board. Oh, I thought you said it was bored, so they were just fucking with people. People ain't shit, so I could buy that store, but go ahead.
Context clues. Arby's, they had a sign that said, Arby's, now hiring niggers and whores.
Oh!
Hard R, too. Niggers and whores.
Oh, okay. Oh, on that board.
Yes, the drive-through. Like the thing that says Arby's, you know, now hiring managers.
I'm with you now. Okay. Now
niggers and whores. Brooklyn Center, Minnesota is what has happened.
Niggers can be whores. What do they have against them? So are you saying white people
they're hiring
now?
Them. So how would they have something against them? They're hiring them. They're trying to give them jobs.
Oh, okay. So you, okay.
Now I would say if you want them to work at Arby's, maybe you do have something against them because it's still Arby's.
Come on.
It's got to be a disc. It's got to be a downgrade from being a nigger or a whore, to be honest.
You probably made more money.
I'm just saying. Now, I don't know who could have made the sign, you know.
Or either. They may have had one sign up and somebody may have changed it. Right. It wouldn't surprise me if they had a sign up there that had those letters rearranged and somebody came overnight and moved them letters around. Somebody walked in and, Jim Bob, did you see this? I didn't do that. I did not do that.
Yeah, I don't know what it could have said, though, that had those exact letters.
I read that somebody knew how to work that board.
Now hiring night managers or something? I don't know.
Yeah, or somebody changed it overnight. Somebody right there being an ass. Probably not the original person that they told to go put the board up.
Man, I know who put it up, probably.
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
0 to 100, Karen.
100 for all the niggers and the whores.
Mm-hmm. Niggers and whores. My God.
They lives matter, too.
Now who's going to hire all the niggers and whores in town? That's the problem.
Right?
McDonald's isn't hiring it. You know? Maybe everybody got different signs. McDonald's now hiring bitch ass motherfuckers. Oh, bitch ass motherfuckers. Oh, well, I need to sign up.
I fit that category.
Burger King looking for basic bitches. Oh, I love everything, baby. I'll be right over there to sign up.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you so much. Hey, I appreciate you, Burger King. Really. I'm just coming in to munch on this everything bagel, and now I got a job. Selling crispy chicken
with a side of my Whopper
wrapped up in a crispy flour tortilla. Minnesota House candidate has an ad out to try to get the vote in Minnesota. He's a Black man. You know we like to root for our Black folks, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm rooting for everybody Black. Ain't that what Issa Rae said, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So I mean, it only makes sense that we would want to see this man succeed, you know, in his endeavors in Minnesota. And I actually had a campaign video. His name is the hell is this man's name? Kyle Green. Kyle, not a bad name. It's a good, strong Black man name. And he wants to be, you know, run on the issues, obviously. And he also wants to appease the voters and represent them in his local jurisdiction. I'm trying to get this video to load so I can play it. There we go. And how do I make it?
Hi, I'm your neighbor Kyle Green. I'm running for District 18A, State Representative. I'm not asking for you to vote for me as your leader. I'm asking for you to vote for me as your public servant. The primary duty of a state representative is to protect all the rights of his constituents. I want to be your state representative. Okay. I want to be your public servant.
Absolutely.
And I want to be your nigger.
Whoa, Kyle. Wait a minute, Kyle. I was with you.
Yeah, somebody said that Key and Peele do this.
I was with you until the
be
last.
Your state representative.
Okay.
I want to be your public servant.
All right.
And I want to be your nigger.
Okay, all right. Who approved the copy of this? Who filmed this? Who did the editing? Who's gonna tell them?
Who uploaded this to YouTube?
I'm not 100% sure what the strategy is here. Who are the people that are going to vote for him based on these issues? He's part African American, part white, and part Cherokee, according to himself. So, yeah, 0 to 100K.
I don't know. 25.
That's it. 25.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I would give this an obvious 100. I mean, what the fuck, nigger with the hard R?
He just want to be your nigger.
He didn't say like my friends, like my nigger. I want to be y'all nigger. Like I want to be your nigger. Okay. I want to be your coon. I want to be your monkey, your baboon.
I want to be your jigaboo.
I want to be your...
I want to shuck and jive for you.
Be your moon cricket. Okay.
Can I do a little tap dancing for you? Can I shine your shoes, dear boss?
I want you to shake my hand. Tell me, don't look you in the eyes and call me boy. This November, I'll be on the ballot. Kyle Green.
I wouldn't have crossed the street just for you.
Okay. I want to be your BBC and your racist orgy. I don't give a fuck. Okay. I'll do it all. Okay, whatever it takes to get elected.
I didn't know how to feel about that.
Well, I mean, you did know how to feel. 25, apparently. That's all that gets you these
days. I don't know.
Hard R, and you get a 25. Karen sound like you might consider voting for him.
He did say nigger, and he wasn't white.
Sound like you on the fence over there. I don't know.
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
Last one. Papa John's put out a new ad.
Okay.
Because they need to address the controversy that I hired a black woman. And they said, we won't show black dollars, okay? And it's I think it's one of these ads, it's mostly print, there's no words. I'll read it to you. It stars with people's tweets. At Papa John's, I'm so disappointed in this company, I'll never order from you again. At Papa John's, I'd rather have frozen pizza than racist pizza. Wow, way to sacrifice and support the troops. Thank you. That's a real person right there.
I know, DeJuno's was like, right this way.
I'll eat an everything bagel before I try your pizza again.
Oh, Lord.
Papa John's racism is disgusting. I won't support it. Delete Papa John's. Deleting this app. Remember when we were actually making progress on civil rights issues? So then they type in, you expected better from Papa John's. So did we. A little too late on this. Blaming players for poor sales with dog whistle racism was a hack move. When you walk your walk, I will take another look. Papa John's, free speech to say whatever you want, but free speech sometimes has consequences. I had the freedom to spend money where I choose. Simply put, I will not give you any more of my money. Lots of tweets. so disappointed in Papa John's right now. I don't know what, if anything, you will be able to do to earn my business again. Sad thing is Papa John's had my favorite pizza. Okay, they found your tweet. Oh,
they must have. I was disappointed.
It's just more and more of these. We're not supporting, let's change the policies. Stop deflecting blame, do better. And then this is my favorite part, because they type, it's typing on the screen, and then they delete it and go back like, we made a mistake. Like, no, this is a better word. So they say, thank you for your anger, which almost sounds condescending, right? They switch it. Criticism, thank you for criticism. They switch it again. Thank you for your honesty. It is making us better. At Papa John's, definitely lost a longtime fan. Shake my head. Pray you guys do better moving forward. And then Papa John's as the end. Karen, what'd you think? Are you ready to order some Papa John's again?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so not enough for Karen. Not enough. All right.
You know, truthfully, I'm not going to say I never go back, but I'm not saying right now, no, I'm good.
All right, well, let me just cancel this order in the app I put in before the show. That was a mistake.
Go ahead and cancel.
All right. And
That's not enough. Need a little bit more actions than that.
Okay.
And I see, like, here's a lot of the local Papa John's. I don't know if they're doing this across the country, mm-hmm. but a lot of the local Papa John's are starting to come out. But, like, hey, we franchise. Like, they're starting to come out and kind of almost separate themselves from corporate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen them, but I've seen them here in Charlotte. They were like, hey, we're Papa John's, we're a franchise, you know what I mean, we're a franchise, you know, almost like the whole purpose is to separate yourself from corporate. But that's impossible, because you bought a franchise, like you said, you end up suffering because something corporate did, which has nothing to do with you. Your sales end up tanking.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of want to help make yourself stand out, but, you know, me as a consumer, it all looks the same. Like, a McDonald's is a McDonald's is a McDonald's. I don't know a corporate from a non-corporate McDonald's.
Right. Nah, that makes sense. I personally forgive them, and they can come to the cookout now. So I will be ordering Papa John's, eating it by myself from now on, which is fine. You know, I just wait till you're not home to order, so you don't have to feel bad about the aromas of garlic sauce all in the air.
Well, you don't even really like it like that.
I know.
What the
but
fuck?
You do. But you do.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here going, but you don't like it like that. Why?
Delicious, hot.
Yeah, now when it comes to Papa John's, I am a basic bitch, because I know it is a lot better pizzas out there. I know this for a fucking fact, but I do love Papa John's.
But you admit it, at least. A lot of these people out here loving everything bagels and won't admit they basic as fuck. That's the only problem. I don't have a problem with people being basic. I'm basic sometimes, but at least I'm not lying to myself. I can't even imagine living that type of life. All right, let's move on. I don't know if any of this other stuff is, I think everything else racist can wait.
You sure can. It ain't going nowhere.
Think everything.
Y'all know what racist is going to be here tomorrow.
all the other racist shit will be right back. Let's see. Let me look at my time. And you know what? We got time to do a little trash before we go to segment two. Where's my trash sound effect, though?
Had that truck back in that deep, deep.
It was on deep, here.
Deep.
Oh, all right. There it is. All right. Here we go. And I'll try to turn the volume down. There we go. Trash time. Matt Lauer tells fans, don't worry, I'll be back on TV after sexual misconduct allegations. Don't forget, one of those allegations was straight up rape. Locking a woman in with a button on his office and sexually assaulting her. And he's
like, she could not escape.
because you know how many of us were worried we'll never see Matt Lauer again. So he wanted to put our fears at ease without paying any actual penalty of criminal, like, resort. Like, his wife left him because she knew the shit was true. But he is going to be back, so don't worry about it, guys. He denied all the stories, by the way. Told even y'all. Though it was investigated and he was fired from his job.
Nobody gets canceled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really gonna put that on a t-shirt. I'm serious. He said, I've been busy being a dad, but don't worry, I'll be back on TV. He reportedly told a group of older ladies who told the former host they miss him. It won't be at NBC, however, as reports emerged last year, the network literally demolished his old office, the very same one where he was able to lock in guests via a button under his desk. He hopes for a comeback. His hopes for a comeback come on the heel of Louis C.K. go at rebooting his comedy career Sunday night, as well as Mario Batali's desire to start a new company in the wake of his own sexual harassment scandal. I've been saying this shit from jump, and I hate to be right about it, and I hate to be whatever about it. The wherewithal of the Me Too movement was fleeting to a certain extent because it's relying on people in charge who are mostly white people, white men of privilege, to make decisions that would disarm and weaken them in their minds. And they were willing to go with it almost like a fad. But once shit got real and it was like, yo, we want y'all to give up your jobs. We want you to let your homeboys get fired. We want y'all to have some integrity and accountability. The thing
is, we want a clean house.
Right.
And they was like, no, because you start cleaning the house, I may have done some questionable stuff too.
I'm reading more and more stories like this where basically white men got tired. Right. It's not even about right and wrong. They literally just said, I feel like it's like when your parents say, I'm going to punish you, and you go, I'll go to my room. I don't deserve to be punished because you did something bad. But then in your mind, punishment is 30 minutes. In your mama mind, it might be 4 hours. You go in your room for the rest of the night, come out, eat dinner, and go your ass back to your room. But to me, it's, I spent 2 hours in my room. Mama, what was the problem? I went in there and I played my Nintendo, read all the games, I read all my books, I played my games. I don't know what else you want from me. All I did was take a shit on the kitchen table. I don't understand what the problem is, you know?
Right, why are you so mad?
Right, and that's basically what these white dudes are doing, where like, well, I took a sabbatical, what the fuck? Because that has been the typical response. Now the wherewithal of the movement really comes in with, well, how do we respond to a Louis C.K.? How do we respond to a Matt Lauer? Like, what is being done to bar them from getting access? What is even being done to show that there's genuine contrition, growth, responses, restitution? What is being shown with that? It doesn't seem like they're just using the same game plan as always. I'll be quiet and then I'll come back when I feel like it.
Correct.
So anyway, I'm not surprised. This one's a ridiculous one. Robin Wright, who is now the star of House of Cards, says that Kevin Spacey deserves a second chance. He's had a multitude of sexual assault and misconduct allegations against him. What is so
fucking important about him?
Right. That it outweighs the damage done. And she is a person that benefited from him being gone.
Right.
But she knows him. And when it comes to men that these women, and mostly white women, know, they feel like it's always different. They do not feel the same. They can be the biggest Me Too advocates, the biggest feminist, the biggest Time's Up. They love to be all up in the pictures and the videos, and they love to get all the credit for talking that shit. But when it comes down to, well, your homeboy did some foul shit, they 100% of the time be like, well, I don't think he did it. I know him. And if he did do it, why y'all being so hard on him?
Right, and that's that thing where you go back to whiteness.
And honestly, I just want to say, like, I'm conflicted because I'm not 100% on the idea that people who are offenders or have offended are like it should be almost like a scarlet letter where they go away and we act like nothing happened and there is no process, right? Like, essentially, this person is gone. move on. And it's like, well, that's good that we can show that we can work without them. But I do think, is that what the people who are victims in these cases want? Is that what survivors always want? Is that what, does that teach them anything? Do they just now go find another pawn to be a scumbag in? You know, Jeremy Piven's currently touring the country as a comedy stand-up act. Like, have we really enhanced anything by him not being able to find work as an actor if he can still take his name and do other shit and never prove he's learned anything, never prove that he did any of these things, never admit anything? Like, I don't know that that's necessarily the best. The thing is, I can't put too much sympathy for those type of people or too much priority on those type of people, because essentially they still just get away with things. So I don't ever want to like put them in the narrative of, well, what about them? I'm saying it will eventually have to be addressed if there's going to continue to be like a movement. I just don't know that there will continue to be a movement. I just, you know, like, I get that. And I think that that trepidation that we feel when it's someone close to us isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we never feel that for the people that have the shit done to them, and we never feel it for people we don't know.
Correct.
You know, like, there should be something in us that makes us feel that kind of empathy and compassion of, well, how do I make you a better person? What rules, what guidelines, what education do we need? Because you're not going to just die.
Nope, you're not going to disappear.
And as long as you're talented, I can't depend on society to hold you accountable. So what are you doing to hold yourself accountable? What things are we doing in the industry to make sure you're accountable? A lot of people don't want to have that part of conversation, which I understand, because we haven't got there yet. I haven't seen anybody really held accountable unless it was like criminally, you know, and even then barely, you know. But anyway, this is a huge hurdle in the industry, is shit like this. A woman of her stature, her age, her politics going, yeah, but it's my friend Kevin, so you know, I mean, me too and everything, girls, time's up, you know, feminism forever, all, you know, hey, pay equality. But like, should we really be like mean to a dude that just happened to like sexually assault a few people? Like, he's so good at this role.
Right, and then she'll get mad when they be like, well, bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. She said she hasn't heard from him since the scandal broke, but if he wanted to speak to her, he could reach out to her when he was ready. Feel sorry for anybody whose life is in the public arena. It's a nightmare. Can you imagine? We do a job, we share a performance with viewers. Why does our private life have to be public? I hate that part of the industry. It's so invasive. I believe everyone's personal life should be personal. Positive, negative, neutral, whatever. I don't believe it should be anybody's business, but I'm not talking about the Me Too movement. I'm talking about media, the exposure. It's not fulfilling. A stranger deciding they know who you are. I mean, it's criminal. It really is.
What? What?
Okay, we're not talking about, we're not talking about him bagging groceries at Trader Joe's.
Right.
Okay, by the way, the people that told on him were some Trader hoes, okay? They should have left Elvin alone.
Come on.
As far as Kevin's face, we're talking about literal sexual assault accusations. He can't just be around people at work and just, that's all good. It is relevant. Even if he weren't a public figure, it's still relevant to the people that would be working with someone who has done these things and never been in jail or any of this shit. Like, yeah, I want to know. And him having to be a public figure, I guess you can say it's unfortunate that he's like, it's unfortunate that when he goes out to eat, motherfuckers take a picture of him. And I'm talking about before the sexual assault shit. Like, maybe you can say that kind of shit is unfortunate. Nigga, you talking about a motherfucking rapist though? Is this real? Do you feel the same way for OJ? Are you like, man, poor him? Everybody got to know he got away with possibly murdering his wife, you know, allegedly. What a guy! Like, are we doing this for everybody? Is this the rule, or are you just doing this because he's your friend?
Right.
Who you haven't talked to since the scandal broke, by the way.
Speak volumes.
Meanwhile, Star Trek Discovery actor Anthony Rapp was the first to publicly accuse him of sexual misconduct, alleging he attempted to seduce him when he started a Broadway production together in 1986 when Rapp was just 14 years old. Spacey claimed not to recall the incident, but then said, I'm gay, everybody, so I'm coming out the closet.
Okay.
And everybody was like, what that got to do with the sexual assault shit, bro?
Correct.
You know, I mean, and also the other thing in this, not the pocket watch, but these motherfuckers ain't broke, man. What are y'all
right,
doing?
Right.
They'll also be fine if they never work again. He's amassed a fortune. It's not he's sitting around like, I gotta go get a job at some company, like I gotta go bag groceries, quote unquote, to make ends meet. Like, he's not even in that situation. He literally is just being rich somewhere, and it's like, poor him. Let's see. TV star Michaela Cole speaks out of about sexual assault. She has called on the media industry to do more to protect young writers after sharing a story of how she faced pressure to deliver scripts after being sexually assaulted.
Okay, who is Michaela Cole?
She is in, what is the name of that Netflix series? Everybody was watching it. Fuck. Why am I drawing a blank? Guys in the chat room, I know you know the name. She's dark skinned black actress. You don't know her? Alright. What the fuck? Chewing Gum. Yeah, that's the name of it.
Oh, okay. That the little black girl, right?
Yeah, she's okay. Not little.
I mean, not little black girl, black woman, but yeah, yes. Black woman. She look young. That's why
yeah,
I said
yeah,
girl.
With the ponytail. Mm-hmm. The screenwriter and actor who had just been commissioned to write a new show for BBC on sexual assault described how she has been working overnight on the script before heading out to meet a friend for a drink. She said she woke up several hours later in the production company's office and realized something was wrong. I had a flashback. It turned out I've been sexually assaulted by strangers. The first people I called were the police before my own family were the after I called police before my family were the producers. Cole said the production company staff then began teetering back and forth between the line of knowing what normal human empathy is and not knowing what empathy is at all. One member of the staff allegedly warned her that the company would not automatically suggest delaying the script deadline and the writer would have to demand it. Eventually a deal was reached with the company paying for her to attend a private clinic for therapy sessions. Well, as long as you get that script on time though, right? I asked to push the deadline back and for the channel to be informed as to why the deadline was pushed back, but the head of comedy never found out why. Which also kind of, you know, makes it seem like, oh, she just pushed it back randomly for no reason. You know? Let me go to the next session real quick, guys. We'll be right back. I see we're right at the break. Sorry. All right. And I'll bring you back on screen when you come over.
Okay.
But yeah, that's some wild shit. Like, hey, I just got sexually assaulted. I called you before I called my family because I understand the pressure of this job. And they're like, well, writing comedy is more important than what happened to you. So I hope you ain't expecting too much of a delay off this shit. Like, how long are we supposed to be held up for you? Was there essentially their response, which is foul.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, nobody... ever wants to admit this, but companies are not people. They don't give a fuck about you as an individual person.
Mm-hmm. And specifically because she did request that they be told, I find it odd the company would not tell them. You know what I'm saying? Like, them being like, hey, this thing, she's like, this thing happened to me, y'all need to tell them why, and maybe they'll have some empathy and shit. They're like, eh, we don't want to get involved in that shit.
Yeah, because we'll have to fucking be held accountable.
The 30-year-old described her journey through the television industry at the 43rd McTaggart Lecture, the prestigious speech delivered by a prominent industry figure during the annual Edinburgh Television Festival. She talked about growing up in the city of London, to being accepted in drama school, winning the BAFTA and breakthrough talent by writing material that appeared to misfits like her. She said, Sarah Ward said that her treatment was absolutely shocking and totally unacceptable. Unfortunately, we're still hearing far too many experiences of sexual harassment across the industry. Our recent survey of BEC2 members working in media and entertainment found that nearly two-thirds of women had experienced some sort of sexual harassment, and it rose to 82% for those who are 30 and under. Right. Because at 30 and under, you are your most vulnerable in the industry, where you don't have a lot of powerful women in it, you don't have a lot of women that making decisions, and you do have a bunch of powerful men who are unchecked ogling young actresses and being like, well, if you want to get on, what's the difference between you and the next actress if I'm not able to sexually harass you? I said, Cole also described experience meeting an anonymous London TV producer at a party after winning a writing award. Keep in mind, this always is the wild part to me. They have to keep these men's names anonymous, even as they tell these brave stories.
But because, they don't want lawsuits.
Right. And also because these men probably still have power in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say his name, I have to deal with the fallout of all his friends and connections. I have to deal with, you know, legal recourse, like you said, like lawsuits. I have to deal with the public backlash of why are you trying to ruin this man's career? And we go through the cycle all over again. So even as I'm telling you this thing happened to me, I can't even tell you his name and warn other people and shit because it might fuck up my career and others. I said, oh yes, nice to meet you. Do you know how much I wanted to fuck you right now? He said, oh. I turned from him and went home so quickly I left my plus one. He called upset. Someone called him a nigger. It was the same man. Could my silence have encouraged this producer to push boundaries with women and black people further? This thought is uncomfortable, but I cannot block it out. I have to face it. What? Wow. Someone called him a nigger. It was the same man. Oh, so her plus one said, the person she came to the party with was like, this right. dude called me a nigger.
She ended up leaving that person right. there, right?
Right. Like, this dude called me, him and the, her friend a nigger and called, and told her, you know how much I want to fuck you right now. And that dude's, somebody in the industry with power. So yeah, the script writer and actor drew on her experience of the industry and said the process of producing her award winning sitcom Chewing Gum was sometimes torturous while parts of the second series were despised by Channel 4. I was on set all day, even when I wasn't in the scene, doing rewrites in the trailer, assessing where I could save the producer's money despite having no clue how much that money was. She also recalled finding all the minority ethnic actors on set confined to one backstage trailer, while a white actor was given an entire trailer to themselves. I asked the actors why they agreed to share. They just wanted it to work. Their belief in the job only matched by the anxiety of losing it. I apologized. I told them we were working for a reputable channel and a reputable production company, and they wouldn't dream of recasting anyone for wanting a private space to prepare and change. I've never accused anyone at work of racism, but I've been urged to understand someone isn't racist on every job I've acted in since, just by pointing out possible patterns, tendencies. When I agree they aren't racist, but suggest they may be thoughtless on the matter, it doesn't go down very well. But if you're not racist or thoughtless about race, what other thing can you be?
Come on.
Cole said she had now learned how to navigate the television industry, but had decided to speak out for the benefit of the next generation of writers. I decided to embrace as many as I can and be brave enough to update my beliefs and discover I'm not always right. What a brilliant thing to discover we've been wrong about some things. What a brilliant thing it is to grow. We're all going to die instead of standing here wishing for the good old glory days about the way life used to be before Mark Zuckerberg graduated. I'm going to try to be my best, to be transparent, and to play whatever part I can to help fix this house. What part will you play? So, yeah, good for her for speaking out on all that stuff, and also unfortunate that the industry does that, and especially to somebody who's seen as a bright star.
Correct.
Like, we're not even just talking about some nobody and shit. This is a person mm-hmm. that people really have invested in, and this is her experience.
And a lot of times they end up breaking people, and then they wonder where that person went. It's a lot of where did they go.
Right.
A lot, particularly brown and marginalized people. All of a sudden, people disappear, and people wonder why. Shit like this.
Right. All right, let's move into something else. Let's do some guest of rice, guys.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's time for some guest of rice. That's right, it's guest of rice time. Now that it's time for some guest of rice. That's right, it's guest of rice time.
Ba-da-ba. That's right, it's time for guest of rice. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants to guess the race. And the chat room plays along and they are races. Karen, you ready to play some guess the race?
As fair as I'm gonna be.
A Kentucky woman is accused of shooting her boyfriend to give him the nose job he wanted. She is convicted of murder again.
What?
A Kentucky woman who told police she shot her on-again, off-again boyfriend and gave him the nose job he wanted has been found guilty of the slaying a second time.
Oh, she got charged twice.
Yeah.
For just killing the same person?
Yeah, I guess the first time, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she got a retrial.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess he was being nosy. Shayna Hubbard, 27, who argued the shooting was self-defense, was convicted Tuesday of fatally shooting Ryan Poston, 29. Hubbard was first convicted of murder for the slaying in 2015 and sentenced to 40 years, but is overturned in August 2016 when a juror was discovered to be a convicted felon. Kentucky doesn't allow convicted felons to sit on juries. Hubbard has been jailed for about 5 years and 10 months. On Wednesday, a jury recommended a life sentence for Hubbard a day after she was convicted for a second time. Her first chance of parole will be after 20 years. Poston, a lawyer, was found dead in his home in Highland Heights. Kentucky prosecutors said Poston was planning to break up with Hubbard on the night of his death. Hubbard claimed Poston abused her during their relationship and she shot him in self-defense. Well, that's a snap classic.
Yes, it is. Snap 101.
They could have no proof of that shit, and they'd be like, he beat me, so I had to file an insurance claim on his life and then kill him.
Take his ass out.
I had to throw him off a bridge. And I wrote a suicide letter. So, but he was beating me, so I had to do all these things. Which lets you know men are trash. The fact that every lawyer of any capability, no matter how damning the evidence is like, let's just say he beat you. Like, that's how, that, think about how fucked up men have to be for that to be the pitch in a to a jury. No matter what the circumstances, every episode of Snap ends the same. Where it's like, I know you took out the insurance policy on his life. I know you wrote the murder plan out in ink, took photocopies and handed it to another dude.
Come on!
I know that dude turned state's evidence on you and said,
we know you on videotape.
She definitely told me she was gonna give me $40,000 and some pussy to kill this dude. I know that you wrote a suicide letter in his handwriting, but it's really in your handwriting and you left it at the state of where you killed him. I know that you bought the murder weapon and you shot this man in the head while he was sleeping and said it was a suicide. I know that you told several people about it in your private Facebook group that you were definitely going to do this plan. And I know you took a hit out on him and we have it on camera. But just say that you beat, just say he beat you. And say you had to kill him. That's it.
Yep.
And like, one out of every 20 times it works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. You see one snap, they be like, she got away.
One out of every 20 times they be like, he could have been beating her. And I don't know. That's how fucked up men are.
Right.
He threw me across the room, so I killed him, she called 911 and said. The courtroom will show footage of Hubbard talking to officers from the Highland Heights Police Station. The video also showed her dancing, and she was heard singing Amazing Grace and asked if she could call her mother. What? Boo, you didn't even try. All right, well, we're going to check out your story. We're going to call a couple witnesses. You just stay here. You sit tight, man. We'll come right back, and we'll finish this discussion. All right, y'all. Okay, I'll talk to y'all in a second. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Is she in there singing?
Right? Damn. Like, chicken head.
Running man, running man.
Fry. Back in. He's very vain. One of our last conversations we had was that he wants to get a nose job, and I shot him right here. I gave him his nose job he wanted. I broke it. The Poston family released a statement to ABC. Those who love Ryan now moving forward with the integrity, dignity, and kindness that Ryan exemplified throughout his life. The family said, today we embrace justice, and yet we do not feel joy. It has been 6 years, long and heartbreaking years without our beloved Ryan. Guess the race of Shayna Hubbers.
Shayna?
Mm-hmm.
Black.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe Shayna Hubbard's race is. Black says be touch. Now he's got to face the consequences. Why? She got to face the consequences? That's a good pun. It's a bit on the nose for me. Um. It's like all other good shooters, Kentucky, one and done, white. She told him he was too nosy, white. The correct answer is white. Oh wait, I'm sorry, Karen missed it, so.
You know what? I was gonna go white, but then I was like, well, she spent 5 years in jail beforehand, like, shit, they treated her like a nigga.
Missed it.
Damn. I deserve them booze.
Yep, the chat room got it right. I don't know how they predicted it. They must be some real Nostradamuses.
That was good. That's good. That's good right there.
Thank you. I try. All right, let's go to the next one. A Kentucky man. Damn, what's going on in Kentucky, huh?
Duh!
A Kentucky man faked a heart attack to get a ride to the hospital cafeteria.
I guess he was hungry.
Guess so. A Kentucky man was arrested in the cafeteria of Baptist Health Corbin Hospital after he faked a heart attack to get a ride there. Police say they received a call about a stolen gun and identified 35-year-old Kenneth Ray Couch as a suspect. Deputy said they were alerted that Couch had just been taken to the hospital after suffering a heart attack at a nearby business. Turns out he faked the heart attack, and when the ambulance arrived at the hospital, he jumped out and casually walked to the cafeteria and grabbed something to eat.
Wow, you couldn't just got an Uber?
I will say this, cafeteria food in the hospital has improved greatly.
Nah, yes it has.
While enjoying his food, officers from Knox County Sheriff's Office arrived and took him into custody.
Right, you sitting like 3 feet from him.
Mm-hmm.
You act like they don't know what a cafeteria is. Nigga, they work there.
He was charged with burglary and falsely reporting an incident. Officials said they discovered he had a bench warrant for his arrest in another Kentucky county for writing bad checks.
He was just bouncing around.
All right, guess the race.
Oh, that nigga white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Call from Sanford and Son white. Cal from Sanford and Son white. Okay, got it. You big dummy, black. White. Black. Okay, white T. Black. Alright, like a kind of split. This one's hard. White? Correct answer is Carrie, you got it right, white. And some of you did miss it though. Ooh, they got carried away at the end. Just like he did on that cart.
Come on.
I wonder, did he go all that way to get cafeteria food, or he just thought he was getting away from the
police? Thought he was getting away from the police, but I mean, they bought you there, which means they probably had to get some contact information off of you. You know, they're not going to have a random person in their vehicle.
Right. And then faking the heart attack part.
And then you just rolling over, jumping out, and walking in the cafeteria that they probably eat breakfast at every morning.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if the police eat breakfast in the cafeteria.
No. The EMS people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're probably like, what is he doing by the buffet?
That's right. Just, that was like,
ain't he supposed to be deaf?
He said he had a heart attack. What's happening here?
Yeah. Also, they can't like check for that when they come get you at the EMS. Like, I guess they like, his heart seemed normal, but maybe he feels something or
possibility.
Like, how don't they know? Like at the time, like, hey, this nigga ain't have no fucking, heart attack. You know. Meanwhile, what was he trying to do? Was he trying to rob somebody already? Was,
I don't know.
Yeah, suffering heart attack nearby business. Yeah, it was a call about a stolen gun. So maybe while he was stealing the gun, he faked a heart attack at the business so he could get away. Hey man, I know you stole my gun. What gun? I ain't got no gun. Oh, my chest. Oh, I can't. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you. Huh, you having a heart attack. You okay? Get off of me, you big dummy. Oh, he ain't having no heart attack, you old fish-eyed fool.
Yes, fish-eyed fool.
Oh, man. All right, let's go to, let's do another one. How about, I already did this one. A negative restaurant review led to drive-by shootings in Orange County.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I just left a negative review. Oh, we didn't talk about that today, did we?
We sure didn't. We both left negative reviews of Pineville Premium, Old Pineville Premium Sports Pub or something like that. Because they racist.
They are racist as shit.
We went in there and got completely fucking ignored for 10 minutes. And they had zero customers in there. And when I went and looked on Yelp, we were not the only black people that had that experience.
Mm-mm, and I had left a positive view because that was my first time there.
Yeah, we had been there I had been there twice before. I got kind of suspect service the first time, but I was like, maybe they just don't know me or whatever. Then the second time we went by ourselves on a Saturday night or something, mm-hmm. but it was already people in there.
Right. So we got served. I mean, right. The waitress, I mean, it was like, it was no problem. Like, we actually had a good experience. So.
And then this time, y'all, mm-hmm. like, it was so
it
fucked
was
up.
It was bad. Like,
and if I hadn't seen the other black people reviews, I would have left it at that. But when I seen other black people talking about how they got, you know, got fucked with up there, I said, oh no, boo. What we not going to do is this. So. I hate mm-hmm. to pull out that, you know, that y'all racist shit, but nigga, I couldn't think of no other reason.
And I put it because I actually did a review and then put like, because I left a review like, it's been a while ago. So then I put like update and I told exactly what happened because basically we had went in there and we stood there for a while and it wasn't busy. It was nobody in there. Like 3 or 4 people. And then, I thought it was 2 customers, actually 1 customer. And then it was the customer sitting there was just talking really, really loud. Like all you heard was him talking. And so we sit there, people walk around and know it's somebody actually sitting down. So I'm assuming it was the manager or an employee. She said, y'all just sit down wherever y'all want. So we went and we, sat down and we sat there and we sat there and we sat there. And we sit there while this dude is just talking really, really loud to the people. And the direction I was sitting in, I could actually see a glass. So I was actually looking at the glass that was reflecting out. And I kept looking at the girl that kept looking at the glass to see if I was looking at her. And I looked up to let her know, bitch, I'm looking at you. Are we gonna get some service? And nobody ever came by, nobody ever said anything. So after a while I began to get mad, so I was like, well, Roger, let's just go somewhere else. So mm-hmm. we ended up leaving. And what's so ironic is that after we, because it literally almost ruined the night, and so we end up going like right up the street to this place, like right beside, Roger had been there before, but I've never been there before. And we stood there and I think a hostess passed by and she was like, somebody be with you in a second. We was like, okay, we were cool. We're like, okay. And the owner of the place was like, y'all been served? He immediately sent us like, y'all been served. We was like, nope. He set us down. This nigga went through like he's a white dude, but this nigga went through like the history of like the restaurant, how he sold wings, how everything is homemade. Like, and it was like a completely different atmosphere from where we was before. It's like everybody was friendly and it just actually just made up for the night. So I told him, I wrote in my review, I say, go to McCoy's up the street. I said, it's better. And I said, they want your money.
Yeah, I left them a review too because they were great. We walked in, he told us the history of how he named it, how they make the food, all that shit. And like, we will be back. Cause they were good and they only a block up the street. Like, you got some nerve being racist in black ass Charlotte with an empty ass bar and no fucking customers Saturday, on a college football Saturday, y'all empty as shit. racism is stupid. It's stupid as fuck. God damn, it is.
Like, it literally, the white man that was already drinking and us was the only people
literally
in this restaurant, and you have fucking Saturday Night Football blazing everywhere, and y'all fucking didn't watch us. Everybody just stared at us like nobody wanted to actually come and greet us. And sometimes what
a waitress is a tip job. You making $0. Zero. You rather make zero than to wait on my black ass. And I'm not the type to be like, well, you gonna get my black money to prove. Mm-mm. Bye, bitch.
Right.
Bye.
The thing is, me and Roger is really patient. So a lot of times, because we both served, a lot of times I'll look around and kind of surveillance the area for certain things, and I just pick up on certain things, and I'm like, okay, well, they got this, that, and the other. So we're very patient. I think a lot of times after we've been sitting there sometimes for a while, the servers get scared to actually come to us, because a lot of times they know we've been sitting for a while, a lot of times before they get to us, so they don't know if we're going to be pissed, if we're going to be grumpy, if we're going to be upset. A lot of times they'll come and we'll just talk like normal. A lot of times they're relieved that we're not angry. For me to get angry, it it's hard to get me angry like that. And so Roger, most of the time I would have just sat there and be like, okay, but with nobody in the restaurant, like nobody in the fucking restaurant, there was no reason why somebody wasn't on top of us immediately.
Right. So.
And yeah, and it also made me want to go back and leave a 1-star review for the other fucking place.
South Bow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cause fuck them niggas too.
Yep. So.
And we not, and I'm gonna keep it real, y'all. When we go out to eat, if we actually like places, we frequent the same places a lot. A lot of times we end up forming relationships and friendships. And while we was at the McCoy place, we ended up seeing an old waitress from Sushi 101 that we hadn't seen in like 2 years. She ended up leaving and I wondered about her, and she was just randomly there. We talked and all that stuff. And last time we went to, be nice to the people to prepare your food. Last time we went to Sushi 101, I ended up ordering a salmon,
ramen bowl, and they gave you extra salmon.
Yeah, she gave me like the biggest salmon. The lady that cooked actually bought it out to me. And she was like, I'm gonna bring it out to y'all, cause we've been coming there for years. She was like, I'm gonna bring it out to y'all. She said, y'all, cause they were beat. She's like, y'all my favorite customers. I'm gonna bring it out to y'all. And the server, which was new, was like, y'all must be special. I was like, no, we just come here all the time. Like, shit like that. Those relationships actually, in my mind, they actually matter. And we go to a lot of places, they will actually fight over our table because they know when we come, A, we're gonna tip. We're not gonna be any problem. So I know it's not me, it's y'all.
Yeah, so at any rate, a negative restaurant review led to a drive-by shooting in Orange County. A man upset about a negative restaurant review committed a drive-by shooting at the home of the person who wrote the review, according to an arrest affidavit. Orange County deputies say Monica Wiley wrote a Facebook post on August 20th claiming that Daybreak Diner on Curry Ford Road near Crystal Lake Drive refused to serve her disabled mother. The owner's son, Michael Johnson, who's his roommate, Jesse Martin, and Norman Alvo were drinking beer that night and were angry about the review. Martin found Wiley's address online and the trio drove to the home with the intent to harm someone or cause property damage, according to the affidavit. With Johnson driving and Martin navigating, Alville fired 3 shots into the home when they drove by, the affidavit said. How'd they catch him? One of the shots went through a window and nearly hit someone sitting on the couch. No one was injured. Martin and Johnson, who have not been arrested, said Alvo is prone to violent outbursts, the affidavit said. Why weren't they arrested? Alvo was arrested Thursday on charges of shooting into a building, shooting from a vehicle, and abuse of a disabled person. Yeah, this doesn't make no sense. I'm gonna prove that I am not ableist by trying to kill the people at the home that called me ableist. He is at the Orange County Jail on $4,300 bond. Guess the race.
Everybody white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what they say. Mexican says, Char, ready to risk it all over the internet post. Black, white, 100 is not a race.
Yeah,
white,
yes, they fuck with.
White, a lot of people going with white on this one. One person went with Mexican, one person went with black. The correct people are white. like, 1-star review, I got 5-star bullets, nigga.
Come on, all with your name on it.
Some of y'all missed it. Like, he was riding down her block with his Glock, her ass finna get shot. Black up and black and black. Black up and black and black.
Oh yeah, he very white.
Mm-mm-mm. In the neck. Mm-mm-mm. I'm finna kill you. Black up and black and black. I'm finna drill you. And now you're bleeding. Black up and black and black. You know I will shoot you in your eye so I can hear the plaque. Plaque up a plaque a plaque.
He looked like he did a cross burning before he
right
did that.
Like an extra on fucking Sons of Anarchy or some shit.
He does, don't he?
For what, man? 1-star review? Like, how about y'all just serve her mother next time and get it back up?
Right, right. And for me, I rarely leave. I do not leave once. That's literally my first 1-star review. Like, I normally leave positive reviews.
At least you know they reading it.
Right. I was highly upset. Read it, bitch. And I meant it.
All right. Let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race. And the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 2-1.
Yes.
Okay. She's at 2. She's missed one. Let's see how she does with the final one. A restaurant is called out for ridiculing a teen on Facebook for paying a bill with coins.
Ain't it cash?
When Cohen Nolte decided to treat his friends to a meal at Beer 88 in Lynchburg, Virginia, with tips he earned as a server at Country Kitchen, he never imagined he would be the subject of ridicule by the restaurant on social media. The 17-year-old paid for his $45 restaurant bill with mostly coins and a $20 bill and left a $10 tip. It's just U.S. currency, Nolte told ABC News affiliate WSET in Lynchburg. I'm allowed to use it. It's not illegal. I'm not doing anything wrong. Beer 88 posted a picture of the coins on Facebook. It has since been deleted with the following caption. We'll just caption this, how not to pay at a restaurant, because that's the nicest thing we can think to say about this ridiculousness.
He was 17!
One of Naughty's friends who remained unidentified couldn't believe the restaurant posted their payment on social media site. We couldn't believe they posted it on Facebook, he said. After some backlash, Beer 88 posted a rebuttal on Facebook calling the whole incident a joke. In response to our earlier post, it was posted as a joke.
Mm-mm.
Intended as a joke, it should be taken as a joke. Beer 88 wrote on his Facebook page, it was posted as a lighthearted way of saying that something like this can be annoying to people that work in the restaurant retail industry. In no way did we publicly shame anyone for paying or tipping. We try to keep our page funny and relatable and had no idea that this would be offensive to anyone. But Naughty and his friends were not amused, especially after the hashtag that was attached to Beer88's initial Facebook post. They said, we didn't have any home training, and said another one of Naughty's friends. That was dirty. And that was one of the hashtags, hashtag no home training. Kim Naughty, Cohen Naughty's mother, can't understand why anyone would say anything negative about her son. If anybody met Cohen, they know it couldn't be farthest things from the truth. Hey, you know he's a good kid. Beer 88 owner Yao Liu, who has been receiving several threats, said she apologized for the post. On that part, yes, I do apologize, because you know I didn't see it. The restaurant's social media page has received a lot of comments from people saying the post may have been in poor taste. However, some patrons think the whole incident may have been taken out of proportion. People kind of hopped on the hate train, Beer 88 supporter Carol Henning told KSET, which seems to be happening these days. Guess the race of the kids who left the tip.
I'm gonna say the kids were white.
Okay, let's check the chat room and see what y'all believe. The boys are black. The black kid who tips. Nothing about racial slurs on this post, so I'll say white. Black. White, maybe whitey. White. Okay, a lot of whites. No police will call white. The correct answer is white.
Yeah, and I could see some, cause he's 17, I could see a child, that was his first job, and, you know, there's nothing wrong, and they meant that shit, and they meant to insult him, and they didn't realize they were gonna get the backlash. You literally were picking on children.
Mm-hmm. Some people did not say white. You racist sons of bitches. Did plick, plick, plick. Yeah. I'm gonna shoot you in your neck. That thing go plick, plick, plick. Yeah, it's sad that, that's why you gotta be careful you bust shots on social media as an entity. It's like a, man, I hate to keep harping on this shit, but social media really rewards sociopathic tendencies, man.
Yes, it does.
And like, I'm not saying this is someone that's immune to it. It's just, that restaurant did not have to do that.
Mm-mm.
And then trying to be funny, they end up saying some shit that did not go over well with a lot of folks. And, you know, especially these turned out to be some white kids. And that's how you knew they was white, because the media came out to interview them about this non-story.
Right.
And they mama, like.
Right, you ain't reading no niggers in the comment section.
Well, not just, I mean, it's not even about that part. Just the media would not have come out because some black kids got blasted for paying with change. Mm-hmm. They would not have come out to do
a
whole story.
That'd have been a non-story.
And I'm like, okay, well, let us know another angle to this. But it can't be just y'all, you know, are mad about this post. But the media came out there. And you just don't know who the fuck got access like that. So you gotta be careful when you bust these shots, because, you know, you letting that thing go plek, plek, plek. And next thing you know, these motherfuckers is like, what you not gonna do? And now you look stupid trying to apologize for some. You know, what I do believe ultimately was a joke, not that it was, cause keep in mind, there's no way to tell from a cast tip who the kids were.
That's true.
These kids saw the post and then went and told the media, revealing themselves as these are the kids who did this. And you just thought it was a harmless joke to a certain extent, or a joke that, you know, this is annoying, but you didn't mean it on some, like, go find these motherfuckers.
Now look at you. I don't think they meant it like that.
Yeah, like, now look at you. You know, I've gotten paid in change tips, and it does suck, for the record. I know it's all spins the same and shit. When you walk around jingling all day, it does, you do feel a way, and I'm not even gonna sit up here and act like I didn't ever feel like, wow, this nigga paid me in 220 minutes and shit. That's an old reference. None of y'all get it, but I'm like, this motherfucker paid me in motherfucking $27 of change. Like, yeah, you weighed me down. I gotta fucking roll this shit when I get home.
A lot of old people have a tendency to do that. A lot of old people.
Old
people tip you like it's 1925.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about old people. I'm just talking about change. I'm not even talking about not getting a good tip. That's a whole nother other.
Sometimes it can be good. It just change.
Yeah, but you said tip to you like it's 1925. That's not a good tip. No,
that's true.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Those cheap motherfuckers can rot. Fuck all of them. I did.
It's a certain genre.
Long living. You alive. Your ass. No tipping has changed in your lifetime. I don't have no fucking excuse. Oh, you know, back in depression day. Well, nigga, I ain't depressed. Give me my motherfucking money. A fucking loaf of bread don't cost a nickel no more.
Come on.
You knew that when you looked at the prices on the sheet and seen that a fucking Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity was $8 now. You know that shit used to be $1.25 back in 1963. You figured out how to get the extra change to make it to $10 or whatever.
Right.
Figure out the extra change to make my fucking 15 to 20% tip. It ain't much to ask. Ugh. Sorry, I just had a flashback.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll take my change to pay for gas and all that type of shit. But yeah, this frustrating rolling it up.
Take your ass to some whack ass bagel shop and get you one of them fucking basic everything bagels and call it a day. That's what you deserve to eat. You don't deserve to be in here getting eggs and bacon and grits and pancakes and then turn around and give me 25 cents. Fuck that.
They 35-45 cents,
right? That's that bullshit.
Here's a 75 cent tip, bitch. For what? Why? Right. What? 75 cent?
Better get you a damn everything bagel over at Einstein Bros and leave me the fuck alone.
I've never been there before.
I have. I've been to all the bagel shops. That's how I know everything bagel is the trashiest. Anyway, how you an everything bagel, but you more basic than a plain bagel? Think about that. That's wild.
Oh, Lord.
That is some wild shit. Lowered expectations, guys. It's killing us. Jonesboro woman arrested after allegedly assaulting two men with a sword and a knife. A Jonesboro woman is arrested under arrest after attacking two men with a sword and a butcher knife. Johnson City police say they arrested Kathy D. Whitson, 53, of Jonesboro, and charged her with two counts of aggravated assault. According to Johnson City police, officers responded to reports of a woman walking around Veterans Way with blood on her.
Oh!
Officers found Whitson sitting on the sidewalk with a small cut on her hand. Johnson City police say after an investigation, they learned Whitson attacked two males inside the residence near their where police found her. Guess the race, white. Chop, 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 chop. I'm finna kill you. I'm finna drill you. You know I will stab you in your eye so I can feel the chop, chop. Chop, 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 chop. According to police, Whitson took a wooden cane from one of the victims inside it, and the cane was a hidden sword. Whitson pulled the sword out of the cane, pointed at the victim. Another man came out of the bedroom and was able to wrestle the sword away. Whitson then grabbed a butcher knife and chased the victim back to the bedroom, stabbing the door. The victim says Whitson then began stabbing a bar table, eventually cutting her hand. She was treated at Franklin Woods Hospital for her injury. Man, she like times was hard, boy. I don't know what happened. Like, that's a lot for, you know, for a Saturday night, you know? All right, guys, we will be back tomorrow, you know? And hopefully we'll be able to move on from the everything bagel discussion. Please don't write us, okay? We don't need your everything bagel caping and all lives matter shit. We don't allow that on the show.
Oh, what is happening here?
Yeah, I told you she's looking rough.
Somebody snatched that wig.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m me and Bossy will be doing This Too Much. We have plenty of feedback. I think we already got double digit feedback, so I guess
y'all
really
had a lot to say.
Y'all really felt a way about the last episode, I know that much. So we'll be doing that tomorrow morning, and we appreciate everybody taking the time out to listen and support that. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.